Rachel's going to unmute. Nina is hitting record.
Yep.
All right. Perfect timing. So we left off in biological
resources.
Clarification. My next one is on BR7 under agricultural water usage and groundwater conditions. Want to make sure that we are accurate. The sentence beginning with during the past 50 years, precipitation levels have generally decreased and in turn water stored in the Butte Scott groundwater basins has decreased. I do not know about Butte, but I can tell you that is a false statement for Scott Valley.
Okay.
The groundwater basin has not decreased. It recharges every year and has. I would say if you're looking at peaks and valleys, yes, we've had some low precip year, high precip year. The limiting factor in Scott Valley is you have a higher forest density, which is directly reducing available snowpack to be used as surface water, which directly impacts recharge timing, thinning, and whatnot. Reduced density, we'll have increased snowpack again. I think the data that we're getting from the State Water Resource Control Board with the flow meters they've put in on South Fork are showing that dramatically after that wildfire. The flows and the snowpack coming out of there right now is more than geometrical. It's darn near exponential increases in flow.
Okay.
So I want to make sure we're accurate there. Scott Valley Basin is not decreasing.
Okay.
It is held stable despite other factors.
To that point, and I asked the Forest Service at Goose Nest the same question. You got these trees, pine trees, 150 gallons a day, correct?
Up to, yeah.
All right. And thousands, hundreds of thousands of those trees are gone now. So where'd that water go?
Yeah, well, it affects peak flows.
And well, it
yeah, it affects peak flows.
I mean, it's amazing that we're not flooded over there.
Yeah. As well as groundwater increases.
Yeah.
The environmental setting, same as my two comments ago, make sure Trinities are included in this because we do possess the north face, which is the headwater of the Scott.
On that, I think I would clarify what type of desert. You know, we have high desert. We're not like a sand desert. But, you know, we're high elevation desert with chaparral and juniper.
Okay.
Western juniper.
On the river habitat, BR8, no, it is not an aquatic, but the bank swallow needs to be included there.
Okay.
Also missing is the sucker, since NOAA and CDFW have taken it on themselves to convert the Scott from a Chinook habitat to a coho habitat. It has dropped the temperature and it's no longer conducive for the lamprey and the sucker. So they have, trying to help one species, have hurt two others.
Okay.
Anybody else has anything? I'm just scrolling down the notes that I have through this section.
have a question. On the, it's a BR 34 6.1, a regulatory setting. It's at the Farmland Protection Policy Act. Has that ever been used in our planning or application?
He said BR 36. Let's see.
34. Mm-hmm. You see that?
Where are you at?
It's a
under regulatory setting.
Yeah, BR 34, Farmland Protection
you're
Policy.
You're way down towards the end.
Regulates federal action.
Yeah.
36.
I'm still on BR 10.
Oh, all right.
Is my next.
Yeah, I don't, the only thing I could think of off the top of my head is, you know, it mentions it regulates federal actions with the potential to convert farmland, so... I mean, since my time here, I haven't 36. Dealt with, like, the feds, for example, wanting to convert any land or anything like that.
Hmm. I've never heard of that.
I might get to it here in a minute. Let me go back up to BR.
That's okay. While I'm through the chair,
yep.
The Williamson Act is still okay at this point?
Yep.
Because they tried to do away with it.
Yep, it is still a thing.
Okay, the same rules
so.
Apply?
What was that?
I think they tried to modify it so that you, I think it says here that you got a better tax break and it's 20 year renewable because originally it was.
It's a 10-year rollout.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's still the same. So that's state law.
That's state. But it says here that the Farmland Security Zone program. That's the newer version of this arrangement. Provides a 20-year renewable contract.
Different.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah,
different.
I
that's
don't,
different.
That is a different program.
That's another. It has nothing to do with
correct
the Williamson Act.
Correct.
Thank
yeah.
you so much.
Okay.
Go ahead, Daniel. I'm on BR 10. I'm trying to go back to it after I went to BR 36.
Well, I'll let you finish on 10 before you.
Okay. BR 10. Okay. Ag water, it was on, that's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, resource, river habitat, hit that one. It's,
right after this map, yeah.
Okay. On the habitat and wildlife corridors on BR 10, it's mentioning, and it says, that they're going to be, they're shown in 6.3. I'm trying to think how to phrase this. I urge caution. The last experiment with improving a corridor by Caltrans and CDFW resulted in the animal they were trying to protect to completely cease utilizing that area when Caltrans and CDFW got involved and they realized they sank multi-million dollars into a corridor to no avail, so they pulled everything and voila, the animals started using it again. So
okay.
Urge caution
sure.
with that. It needs to be tempered with reason and common sense. Danielle?
Yeah, no, I'm...
What animal was that?
Deer.
Deer.
Oh,
the multi-million dollar deer crossing and warning system from the base of Forest Mountain to Fort Jones?
Yeah.
Yep.
Remember that.
What a waste of tax dollars. Okay, so...
Yeah, and one thing on that habitat wildlife corridors, like a lot of it is, and I understand you're referencing the Fish and Wildlife study from 2019, but is there, in that study or in your work, is there any corridors over our freeways? Because our freeways are, you know, a huge issue with wildlife crossings and... depredation of our wildlife. Is there, I mean, because that's really where I see the corridor needs are on our freeways, especially, you know, I-5, Highway 89.
I mean, looking at the map, you can see that there is some correlation in some areas.
Okay.
But, yeah, we'd have to talk with RENCOM about that.
You tried to fence some of the...
I've seen the fencing, but, you know, a large swath of, and I guess maybe it's just, you know, Wairika, Montague, and then Weed, Mount Shasta. It just has limited connectivity opportunity along the freeway. And I view that as, like, that's actually where I would...
Probably where you need it the most.
Where you need it the most. Thank you. Exactly.
So my next concern, I know it, I think it occurs above and below this, but specifically on BR-19, where we're listing special status species. Is there some California law in general plans that says we must list all species it listed in California? Or can we just list those species whose true habitat is in Siskiyou County? The crotch bumblebee does not reside in Siskiyou County.
Boy, I hope not.
The western bumblebee does not reside in Siskiyou County. The Lost River sucker is a different sucker than what we used to have in the Scott River. The pit lamprey does not make it into the Scott and the Klamath. That is a different lamprey. But I would highly suggest that we remove all species that are not or do not have habitat in Siskiyou County, because we do not need to be placing additional restrictions on the members of our county for a species that doesn't reside here.
Yeah.
Because each of these species listed sets limitations on what you can do with your property. If it's not here, the limitation shouldn't apply.
Okay. Yep. And along that, I hope this list is generated from, you know, discussing things with the Forest Service, because they have their list, but as well as checking the CNDDB through California Department of Fish and Wildlife. They track all teeny species. And you can do a search, you know, countywide. But I'm looking at things like, you know, Pacific silver fir and subalpine fir. Very, very minimal. I also would question, like, the habitat needs of some of the wildlife species. I would like to know where those definitions came from. Case in point, if I can find it, is for NSO, which Northern Spotted Owl, sorry for using acronyms. But for the owl, it just says old growth. That's actually not entirely true. They need open and closed forest.
They also like barns.
Yeah. But the whole old growth dependent is not...
that was a false narrative.
Yeah, that's an outdated narrative.
The Greater Sandhill Crane doesn't include Scott Valley, and it should. When they took the water away from the refuge on East County, the sandhills all came west, and we've got hundreds of sandhill pairs in Scott Valley now because we have water and they don't.
So we're still dealing with table 6.2, correct?
Yeah, I haven't left BR-19, but okay. Yes, that table.
Yeah.
It needs those that aren't here, get rid of them. Mm-hmm. And we do have some that are listed here that the habitat is not listed for here, but it should be.
And
or the habitat is inaccurate.
Well, then, I can definitely say that this comes from state and federal sources, so you know we're not writing these. So if there is a requirement that for some reason they all have to be listed, I might make a suggestion that we put an extra column in and say whether or not it's relevant to the county, in the county, right?
Present or not present.
Exactly, right, something like that. So we can speak to them about, you know, what is required. Do we really have to list the comprehensive list that's even outside the region? And then what flexibility do we have to address any typos or errors in the habitat description?
There are a couple plants in the under CNPS. One of them, and I'd have to go back and look, it's actually considered a noxious weed and is under control.
Okay.
In Siskiyou County. It does not apply to Siskiyou County as a rare and endangered plant. It is a noxious weed.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to have our biology department review this list. Because we do plant lists, and there's a lot on here I'm not familiar with working on in Siskiyou County. So I'm of his belief, his being Mr. Fowl, that we stick to plants that are actually found in Siskiyou County or are listed. And then I would also wonder if we need to rely on CNPS. I know there's discussion on rather we just stick with T&E species versus actually going down to the CNPS list. So I would question that.
Okay. So we'll bring that.
So.
I guess it says prominent. I can live with that. I'll bite my tongue on that one.
Let's see. Going through historic districts. I don't need another. Sorry.
You probably have stuff flagged in 6-8 forestry resources.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to go pass that one to catch my next one. You can start going on forestry.
Okay. So on forestry, it's 6.8 under BR 30. So it talks about Siskiyou County. Again, it's the dates, and I recognize, you know, you might not have, we should have more current data, I guess is my point, than 2020 or 2016. So in 2020, it talks about the amount of board feet produced in Siskiyou County. You should be able to get at least 2023 data from the California Department of Tax and Fee. There's a yield tax division that tracks all timber harvest, at least on private, and then you can get the, which should represent this number, and they do it quarterly and annually by county.
Okay.
And so that you'll be able to get more accurate data.
Thank you.
If you have questions, Rachel or the Planning Commission Department can get in touch with me, and I can provide a website. And that's a state website.
Okay.
And then in that first paragraph under forestry, it says that the decrease in timber harvest volume, because that's what we're talking about here is volume, can be attributed in part to increased tree mortality resulting from wildfire pest outbreaks, wind throw, and drought. That actually increases tree volume. We actually select those trees. So I don't think I would agree with that statement that the reason we have decreased outputs is because of disease, fire, and drought. Really, the reason our county has decreased outputs is restriction and costs.
Okay. Okay.
The other issues on tree mortality are subsequent due to not being able to harvest. You know, it's too many trees per acre causes stress, which then causes susceptibility to insect
disease.
Okay.
So the latter half of the sentence is important, as well as federal restrictions on
federal and private restrictions. And private. You know, the state of California has an equally robust harvest process as the state does.
Okay.
With multi-agency restriction.
And then you said costs.
And then costs. Okay. Costs are probably the biggest reason why, especially small landowners, aren't able to do the work, is because, as I talked about earlier this morning, the costs you see at Home Depot are not the cost that we are selling wood to the mills. I wish it was. It'd be a different scenario. But the cost of getting the wood to the facility often is, as Commissioner Fowle said, figuring out how we lose the least amount of money, but we do it for forest health reasons.
Okay.
So, okay. And then I would question, under federal forests, I this is a point to confirm, is it, the last sentence in the first paragraph under federal forests, it says approximately 40% of timber harvested in Siskiyou County is derived from federal and state managed forest lands. I find that number to be a bit high compared to what I understand. Especially when we're talking about timber harvest that would be of a commercial nature, meaning, you know, it would end up on the yield tax rolls, etc., if that's what we're talking about. But I would like to research that number, because while the feds are actually ramping up historically, like current, their timber sales have just been plummeting.
Okay.
Although they are really trying to make some end roads there. I will give them credit for that. They've got some people who are trying to help. Let's see. And then, second paragraph, they have Douglas fir in the second sentence. That needs to be hyphenated because, again, it's not a true fir. Let's see.
And that applies document, right?
Yeah, because anywhere you see Douglas fir, it's always a hyphenated.
Well, on the next page, it's called the mixed conifer.
Yeah, and then again, under forest soils, that first paragraph, just like we talked about before, they kind of lump Doug fir, I assume, into that fir category, and we talked about it. It's not under that Abies genus, it's under Pseudotsuga genus, so it's not even the same species. And cedar, it really should be incense cedar, because incense cedar isn't a true cedar either.
Yes.
True cedar is Thuja. This is Calicedris.
Okay, with the hyphen.
Hyphen. Has to be hyphen. Let's see. And... okay, and then I would double check with the Klamath National Forest, again under federal forest, that the acres breakdown of the different management types are accurate. This is referencing 2009, and I believe there was a new, since then, there's been a new, and I know they're redoing the Northwest Forest Plan right now, which this would be under, but I believe those acres have been adjusted since 2009. So I would...
and that's the second paragraph under federal
second forest. Paragraph under federal forest.
Perfect.
So thank I you. Would double check that. And then on the table under 6.5, where it says timber tree soil requirements, under the habitat column over on the far right, it goes between conifer and mixed conifer. And I don't know why that is. Almost all these species are found in mixed conifer forests. We don't really have, outside of like Pondosa, just in Hondosa's action, Shasta County, but off of 89, there's very few areas where we have single species forests. Even our juniper forest has some ponderosa pine intertwined with it. So I would call it all mixed conifer, at least for those. Let's see. National Forest map looks pretty accurate. Yeah, I'll let you go because then okay. I do have some regulatory stuff.
So I've got a couple items to note here. In the regulatory listing, federal, nothing there. The state, one that is notably missing. You listed California Fish and Game Code, but there is no mention of state water code.
Okay.
There is all, then staying within the state portion. This is a question maybe for council or Haley. Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, I get, is a state act. But since our plan has been approved, is it technically still state? Because since we've been approved, SGMA has gone from the threat of the state managing us to our local groundwater basins. And we each have our own plan. Is it at, I'm not saying pull SGMA out of here,
right.
But should it also be noted under county or local that we have our own GSAs and GSPs under that, which basically are the head of it are the supervisors?
Yeah, I mean, my initial thought is I almost think of it as like Williamson Act, right? Where Williamson Act is a state law that like locals regulate and enforce. Similarly to SGMA, right, where it's a state act.
I think it'd be different because the state now, since our GSP mm-hmm. has been approved,
mm-hmm.
our GSAs, whether it be Scott, Shasta, or Butte,
mm-hmm.
are going to be recommending actions
mm-hmm.
to the supervisors to see that the plans are implemented.
Mm-hmm.
And the supervisors are the ones that have the final call now. It's
right,
no longer going up the chain to the mm-hmm. state. It's a local plan, a local advisory committee, local supervisors.
Yeah.
Well, obviously that should definitely be identified. I, you know, I don't work on the water side of things in our office.
I just think we want to be accurate.
I would suspect there's some state oversight. I never feel like we're completely free of that.
True, but the regulatory component, which this is addressing, is no longer state regulation of SGMA. It's now county and water, groundwater basin regulatory.
Yeah, I think it'd be safe to say that the primary regulatory body would be the local GSA.
Okay, so we need to add that into the local county portion.
Okay.
Leave SGMA at state, that's fine, but we need to add into the county level.
Sure.
Then moving down into county, since that came up, Siskiyou Resource Conservation District is not a regulatory body. They are for resource management, specifically aimed at assisting farms and ranches do voluntary projects. I noticed the Shasta RCD is not listed here. They are the same. They are not a regulatory body.
Okay.
And so if we're talking, you get to the Siskiyou County Department of Agriculture, there are components of that department that regulate pesticides, herbicides, air quality, and measures, yes. They also have some voluntary programs they do. That one fits. But when we get into Siskiyou Resource Conservation District, I would not call them a regulatory, but they are a resource what is it, resource management partner.
Mm-hmm.
They are not a regulatory authority.
Okay.
Then, and so if we move Siskiyou RCD to that label, add Shasta RCD.
Okay.
And I think Butte Valley has their own RCD out of Doris. Is it still alive and viable? It used to be.
Hmm.
I know Joe Samus used to be on the board, and so did the Porterfield.
I don't know, but one thought I just had for the RCDs, are they classified as special districts, perhaps?
Well, they are a special district, but they have no regulatory authority.
Okay.
It's like Department of Agriculture, I've got to get my spray permit.
Right.
Boom, boom, boom.
Sure.
They regulate. Right. RCDs do not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can
yeah.
I interject real quick with that? We do have the RCDs in our list of special districts for LAFCO.
Oh, okay. That's, yeah, okay. Okay.
So, yeah, Brett and I were just mentioning, if there's not a regulatory arm of that, then we should probably just remove it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I would still say, you know, if we're being an all-encompassing, they should be mentioned because they're invaluable resources
mm-hmm.
okay.
to members of our county to utilize as resources.
Okay.
So
I think they could be mentioned elsewhere in the document, but might not be in the regulatory setting.
Bingo. Bingo. Okay. Those were my regulatory.
Okay. So mine is under the California Forest Practice Act, surprise. So on page BR35, it says the California Forest Practice Act requires any harvesting of logs offered for sale, barter, exchange, or trade to prepare a timber harvest plan or an NTMP. There's actually other permits that we can prepare as RPFs, so I don't know that we should just limit it just to
okay.
those two. There's an exemption and emergency process, as well as a conversion of timber land process. So there's a bunch of different plans outside of just those two.
Okay.
So I don't know if you want to be all inclusive and list them all, or just reference like the intent of the act.
Okay.
But I wouldn't limit it to just those two because I don't want people to think those are the only two things I need to do. Because like,
If they were to be listed, how many would be listed?
Well, I can give it. So there's under a timber harvest, so there is a timber harvest plan in the NTMP. There's also a section 1038, which is a whole list of exemptions.
Okay.
There's also 1104, which is the conversion process. So say somebody's going to build a house, they have to get a timberland conversion permit. Or if they're going to put in a subdivision, a timberland conversion. There's also a new code section coming up called 1114, which is for utility right-of-way maintenance
mm-hmm.
of timber. So there's THPs, NTMPs, actually there's SYPs, which are sustained yield plans, exemptions, emergencies, and conversions.
Okay.
So like six would be the primary.
Mm-hmm.
And they all are needed. There's also,
I guess what we would do is we would default to what you think would be the most important information to show as a recommendation to county staff and our team to include.
What that forest practice is.
If you think that the information, all inclusive, really paints the better picture and you believe it's needed there.
Yeah.
I would rather have you make that comment and that recommendation and what to include.
Okay.
If you don't think it's necessary, then there's the ability to paraphrase.
Okay.
And cut it back.
And I also too, kind of like what you guys did with like the Native Protection Act, where you say that like CDFW has the authority to enforce. I would probably say that, you know, under the act, you know, something to the effect that the State Board of Forestry creates the rules to follow the act, and that CAL FIRE is the enforcement arm.
Okay.
Just to kind of parody to what you've done with some of the other ones, like how the acts or rules are then enforced. There's also another act called I don't know how deep in the weeds. I mean, this, maybe I just won't. So we've got California, so they've got CESA, Forest Practice Act, Game Code, You've got Port of Cologne, scenic rivers.
One that's not on their public trust doctrine.
Yeah. Oh, and then fire. You know, there's no fire code acts on here. Mm-hmm. And that whole section is going to be regulating a lot of what we do with the general plan. I would definitely include, like, the fire codes mm-hmm. in this, because even when it comes to, like, our activities, it's on a conversion, it's going to impact, like, how we would design a road or where we can put housing. So those are definitely land use.
Go back up to federal. NRCS should not be included as a regulatory agency either. Mm-hmm. They are basically the federal form of an RCD. They are a resource mm-hmm. for voluntary projects.
Okay.
And so wherever, if you were to move Shasta and Siskiyou RCD somewhere, NRCS should go to that same place. Mm-hmm. They have no regulatory authority.
So when there's a discussion of RCDs, you would move them into that discussion?
They are a resource for voluntary projects. Okay. They are not a regulatory arm that shape how the county operates in planning.
Got it. Okay. Perfect. Yeah, those are standards.
And then I think Port of Cologne, I don't think that's the exact name of Port of Cologne.
It looked off to me too.
Yeah, I'm
it's just Port of Cologne, isn't it? It's not Port of Cologne Water Quality Control.
No, it is. Is
it? Because TMDLs fall under that.
Yep. I'm getting the Federal Clean Water Act.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. Okay, we're good there. You got scenic highways. Did we have scenic rivers? Where did I see scenic rivers?
Oh, that's a federal one.
There it is, National Wild and Scenic Rivers, because that affects us.
Federal missing. Army Corps operate under.
Oh, yeah, we don't have any Army Corps.
Yeah, Army Corps is not listed under federal regulatory, and neither is NOAA.
Did you have Department of Pesticide Regulation?
DPR needs to be under state.
Yeah, but did you add that?
No, but it was
we
on
should.
My... I'm in my... what needs to be added. So NOAA federal, Army Corps federal, and DPR state.
Okay.
Oh, the other one at the state is the... and I know you're going to talk about it in your cultural section... But I just forgot the acronym. But they do rate our cultural program is the.
Yeah.
They regulate land activities and where we can act. I can get you that. Why am I? My brain's blank. That's a. Hold on a sec. It's a historical preservation.
HPA, Historical Preservation Act.
Right? Yeah, California Historical Preservation Act.
HPA.
Okay.
Yeah. And that one is actually getting more and more, and that would be under federal, but then there's a state version.
Yep. And we know what the state version is.
Got it. Archaeology is a...
Also missing in federal, maybe it's not needed, but FAA is not included here. I know FAA has come in to a couple of our projects recently with projects near airports. Should that be mentioned? If it's not necessary, fine, just tell me. But.
I would say in this chapter, probably not necessary.
Okay.
Definitely, if it wasn't noted, should have been noted in circulation transportation, should be there.
I did see in the discussion there, okay, so this is regulatory, specifically overseeing biological resources.
Correct.
Okay.
I mean, there are times that it's duplicative, but not always.
Okay.
Was there DWR on there?
Well, that's why I added the California Water Code. Oh, see, California Water Code, when you add that, should be State Water Resource Control Board, and DWR.
That's, okay, that's what I was looking for. Because we have, I'm just trying to go in my mind of all the permits we have to get.
local, that's what's missing. Local should be Siskiyou and, or Scott and Shasta Water Master District.
Yeah, they are enforcement.
Okay, I'm done with biological for now.
Yeah.
Cultural resources.
Okay.
Fire away.
Thank you.
So, yes, cultural resources is next. Again, this is one that really is very informative for the EIR, and the content is structured as such. But, of course, we want to know from you, you know, is there anything missing?
Well, I don't know if it's missing, but you added a concrete berm on this picture, which is, it says cultural resources encompasses all physical evidence of past activity. So I don't think that would be past activity, would you? Concrete berm?
No. I will say we struggled very hard to find pictures. Huh? We struggled to find pictures.
You drove through Scott Valley, right?
Huh?
You drove through Scott Valley.
We did, yeah.
Did you not take a picture of the tailings?
We took pictures as the car drove very quickly through, and some of the pictures are not great.
Oh, okay.
We have some historical
I would love
sites.
That.
We
I
probably
would
need to get you some photos.
If county staff has photos that feel are would best fit these sections, or the commission, please pass them on to county staff.
We tried so hard.
Yeah.
Well, can you imagine the Native American community looking at that and saying, What tribe built that?
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. We'll try to find a more representative. Something that's public knowledge, though, of course. You know, we'll try to find something. Let's see. And on the cultural resources, I was this RINCON again?
Uh-huh.
Or it was?
Okay.
And do you know if they got the history from, oh, I see, the websites. Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah, for both these sections, they tried to list the sources near the text so that you could immediately see where they got it from.
Okay.
Just for clarification, because I'm only quasi-familiar, the McLeod Valley referenced to the wind tube. Did that actually come far enough north into Siskiyou? I thought the wind tube was in Shasta.
So we actually just recently got a comprehensive list of all tribes that have any claim to Siskiyou County, whether they historically have been here or not, and I would say, I don't know if I forwarded that to you, but I can look and tell you how many tribes are on there, but it's several dozen.
Mm-hmm.
And Winnemem Wintu is one of them.
Shasta County.
I've got the list here.
Yeah, the Wintu was the only one that raised a question. I know the Modoc, in the Tule Lake area, heavy, but the Wintu, I wasn't sure they came all the way up into Siskiyou.
They absolutely do.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're on
the list.
Now. Yeah, okay. I'm going to tell you, or do you have it open?
No.
How
I got
many
it.
Do you have listed?
I got the list.
Okay.
I'm pulling it up.
Six.
Oh, no, I have way more than that.
Oh, no, how many listed in total? Sorry,
yeah.
That was just six related to the Wintu.
Oh.
So, let's see.
Yeah, 35.
Yeah.
So, I can tell you for who we have to notify when we do a project. Besides the Native American Heritage Commission, we have for southern projects, Pitt River Tribe, Quartz Valley, Shasta Nation, Winnemem Wintu, and then the Wintu Tribe of Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the rest of Siskiyou, we've got the Crook, the Klamath, the Nor... God, I don't have my eyeglasses. The Norrell Wintu, Quartz Valley, Shasta, Winnemem Wintu, and Wintu Tribe. And that's our current, we do our studies too. So that's our current list. So I think you've covered that and then some. So I think they're okay. Does that help answer your question?
Yeah, I've got it. So I don't have to blow this back up again. Making sure my date is correct.
So, maybe I've answered my own question. Because this is county. I'm thinking of all the buildings in the city of Eureka. That would not be included in here for the NA, National Historical Resources for...
It did list all the buildings in here.
But I think those are only count buildings within the county, not within the city proper.
Yeah, I saw that.
We do mention the minor historical district, which has those buildings within the city.
Oh, within that district, okay.
Within the district, yeah.
Maybe it's semantics. Just looking, so in the timeline, you go from, you have it broken down, Spanish period, that's accurate. I'm assuming you're getting these definitions as it relates to California.
Mm-hmm.
Not specifically Siskiyou County.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because if we're talking as it relates to Siskiyou County, we've got, I personally have, the land patents for our ranch
mm-hmm.
from 1838 signed by President Van Buren. Now, I also have another land patent that was signed by Polk and another one by Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, Lincoln is post 48, but Van Buren was 37 to 41. If we're talking state versus the county,
yep.
Cultural importance, dates sometimes can mean something.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, on that section, do we have Siskiyou County is the fifth largest county area by area, and the population as of 2010 was 44,000. Isn't there a more current census than 2010? And that's on the very top of CR 12.
Sometimes it's 46,001. If you Google Siskiyou County, I think it'll come up 46,000.
Yeah, we can definitely get a newer.
Okay.
Data
point for that. Perfect. I can't
remember.
I think I'm good. That's good. I'm glad you put AB 52. That's definitely changed.
Yeah,
exactly. CEQA, that one. I'm okay with that as a thing at this point.
Public facilities, services, and infrastructure.
Okay. All right. So public facilities, services, and infrastructure. Obviously, we want to document, what are the capacities of law enforcement, fire protection, emergency services, where are their service areas, that gives us obviously the context to start to figure out who needs what resources and what do we plan for. We get into healthcare, schools and childcare, parks and recreation a little bit, and so it's a fairly meaty chapter. Just a little bit of time left.
take your comments and questions on this one as well.
Okay. Scrolling to it. Okay, on PFSI 21,
page 21,
figure 8.7, the top map is the Verizon data coverage for Siskiyou County.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that is no longer accurate. It's about 30% smaller than that because they have not maintained their 4G towers.
We've heard about this issue.
Because they have focused entirely on 5G,
mm-hmm.
which brings up heads up staff. I speculate in the near future we're going to be getting a plethora of requests for additional cell towers throughout the county in order
next month.
In order to handle 5G service.
I agree.
Now the problem is, for those not familiar with how cell towers work and signals, we had better service with 3G than 4G, and we are going to have crappier service with 5G. And it's all because of the bandwidth. 3G compared to 5G, 3G, the wave is like this, and interference of terrain is minimal. 4G is like this kind of a wave. And so periodically it hits a mountain and it dies, so you need another tower.
Mm-hmm.
5G, and I'm part of this is an embellishment, but a lot of it's the truth, a 5G wave is like this, and it will only carry until that wave is interrupted by the first blip in terrain, mm-hmm. and then it stops.
Which is about Siskiyou County.
So instead of having one tower that can cover for 20 miles, now you're going to have five towers
mm-hmm.
for the same coverage of the same area.
Yeah.
And so this map, and I would presume the U.S. Cellular is going to be the same
mm-hmm.
because they're doing the exact same thing. We're going to have a plethora of permits or use permits. And I'll tell you what, I'm not so inclined, I'm torn, because ultimately we need our citizens to have access to services via phone.
Mm-hmm.
And in District 5, Siskiyou telephone's great, but there are a lot of people who do not have landlines anymore.
Yep.
And cell is their only source.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and even cell is going to VOP.
Right.
So,
and 5G is not the answer.
Landlines are going to VOP. So
correct.
You don't even have
yep.
a landline.
So part of me says hell no to more use permits for more towers if they're going to be 5G.
Right.
I would much rather see update on the 4G or even return to 3G in remote areas so people are guaranteed a signal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about the data. It's
right.
about being able to make a phone call and send a text message, help.
Yep.
Thank you.
It's an emergency. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about data. I care about a signal to
yeah.
make a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
I notice you don't have fiber optics on here.
Yeah, did we not?
Huh?
I don't think we covered it.
And is there a reason for that? There's
no.
thousands of miles of fiber optics line throughout this county.
Okay.
In fact, there's a new grant coming out to hook up some of these remote areas with fiber optics.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We'll definitely want to include that.
Yeah.
Cal Orr is the company the resource to call on that.
And Siskiyoutel.
And Siskiyoutel.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're hot on the track of getting a grant for this.
Yeah, I would awesome. Definitely put that on, because that, you know, for future planning, for business, I mean, I, sure. I know, like, companies like ours that do use a lot of bandwidth, some of our GIS, et cetera, programs, you have to have that, and that's been an impediment on where our company, like, moves to within the county.
Okay,
that's
great.
Right, we're in Wairika. Got it.
My next question, and it's solely to bring awareness, dealing with the fire districts.
Are you moving to a different topic?
I'm moved down to fire now.
Nine?
Safety and hazard? 29.
Oh, okay.
So previously you noted the SRA, CAL FIRE state response area. When it gets to this PFSI 29 map, I'm only going to speak to the purple from Fort Jones to Callahan. Let's make sure that's accurate, because knowing how SRA fees are assessed by the state, a lot of the purple that is to the west of Highway 3 is not solely volunteer. Essentially, everything west of Highway 3 is considered SRA, CAL FIRE, but with the mutual agreement, the volunteer fire does respond there.
Okay.
But make sure we're clear, if you are between Highway 3 and East Callahan Road, from Callahan to Fort Jones, if you're in the middle, you are solely volunteer.
Okay.
CAL FIRE only comes out if requested by volunteer.
Got it.
If you are east of East Callahan, west of Highway 3, CAL FIRE is the primary. Voluntary fire departments are secondary, unless they arrive at scene under mutual agreement first.
Okay.
I don't know about other areas of the county, but I know for Scott Valley, that's how it works.
Okay. Looking
we have
at this
standard mutual aid agreement in our area.
That's and Cal that Fire. Applies in SRA.
That's CAL FIRE,
right.
Fire District, and the City of Mount Shasta. They have a mutual, and City of Dunsmuir too.
Okay.
And you have the volunteer fire districts down here. I noticed. So you have Fort Jones and Aetna, but like you're missing French Creek, you're missing Callahan, you're missing Scott River, that all have their own volunteer fire area.
Okay, are they an actual unique district?
Yes.
Okay.
They have their own water tanker, their own building, and their own members who have keys to access.
Definitely. Then we'll want to include them, yeah.
Through the chair, LAFCO is currently doing MSR and SOI on all of the fire districts and fire services. I don't recall seeing those as active, but I will double check. Haley, do you happen to recall if you saw that on there?
What districts?
Callahan, French, and Scott River.
I think Scott River.
And actually, there you don't have Quartz Valley on here either.
Yeah, I don't think that those were listed, and we have a tack of probably
every single
good
one
half
of fire
dozen.
Chiefs.
There's a ton of firefighters. They would have called that out if those were missing.
Maybe and maybe not. You got to realize the areas we're talking about.
Yeah.
Some people like to keep to their own.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
To be complete, I'm just bringing it up.
Yeah.
They may need to be included.
We'll check.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, I and actually, Greenview should be on there also. Greenview separate from
Greenview is part of the Scott Valley Fire Protection District. It's we just did use permit amendment for their station there.
Okay. And actually, when they did that, they may have open the umbrella to include Callahan, French, Scott River, Quartz Valley, and Greenview all under one umbrella.
Well, their territory is highlighted here in purple. So that's Scott Valley's Fire Protection District territory. So it may be that they have a station down there, but it is
right.
The Fire Protection District.
See, on the map, it may be that's where they respond, but I'm telling you, west of Highway 3 and east of Eastside Road.
So, but this is specifically their district boundaries.
Okay. Okay. Because a lot of that purple is SRA primary, which those people that live there have to pay the SRA tax. I don't have to because I'm within the boundary.
Close.
Yeah.
Anything else on?
I just had a question about the schools. Where would Discovery High School fit?
Discovery High School is in Wairika. It's part of the Wairika Union School High School District. Disco.
Because I see Wairika Union High and the Wairika High School, but I don't see Discovery listed.
What page are you on?
I am on...
PFSI
44. I see Wairika Union High, and I see Wairika High School, but I don't see Discovery. Just one that popped out at me.
It's probably encompassed into the...
Is that part of Wairika High? Well, I think they have their own principal.
Wairika Union High School has the high school, it has Wairika Options, and it has Discovery High School. So
it's all under one?
It's all
okay.
One district.
Yes.
Okay. I just thought they had their own principal.
Yeah, I would think that they would have Wairika High School and then have the other two listed, though. So
yeah, we can
maybe we can check on that.
Okay. It just stuck out to me because...
Yeah, and then we'll look at the enrollment figures to see if they need to be broken out to be more accurate.
Perfect.
And I noticed none of the charter schools are listed here.
Well, Golden Eagle's down under 811.
Oh, I didn't go far enough?
Yeah, right. Keep them right there.
Golden Eagle. Oh, I see. It's broken out differently. Okay. It's under Siskiyou County Offset. No problem. I was looking. I didn't see the Northern United, Golden, etc. Okay.
Yeah. That's a lot of school districts. Still interest. On the Shasta Land Trust, PFSI 63, I think it's the Siskiyou Land Trust.
It is.
Not the Shasta.
Yep.
You see that under the Nature Conservancy?
Which page are you on?
PFSI 63. That should be Siskiyou Land Trust, not Shasta Land Trust.
Yeah.
They own the 7.5 acres within Mount Shasta and have successfully done ag easements at Plank's Place, my place, Thackeray's Place, Spencer's Place.
Well, and then they've got a conservation easement on our management.
Correct. that should be Siskiyou Land Trust, not Shasta.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, I don't know if this is Mount Shasta City, but they also have acquired Thamar Werritt's piece, which is right in Mount Shasta. We manage that one too. So they I would look at
that. Yeah, that 7.5 is right down from their office below the Sisson.
But they just acquired.
What was the name?
Siskiyou Land Trust.
No, Danielle, what was that about?
Thamar Werritt's.
Yeah, that's off of Wairika Way.
Wairika Way.
Yes.
at the very end, they own, they now have all that under their ownership.
Okay.
And that's their direct ownership, not just this conservation easement.
Okay.
And has this document, it has been put out for public review?
So we went through review with the Technical Advisory Committee, and it is now out for public review.
Okay. When does that review period end?
The 30th of June.
June 30th.
Okay. Yeah, it would have to be for Ann Marsh to get it again.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
She wouldn't miss it.
Through the chair.
Yes.
She got. She has. She can get it off. Our planning commission page because it's posted. Part of the staff report, so she. That's publicly available. Only if you're watching what's on the agenda.
Okay, to move into safeties and hazards.
Mm-hmm.
Through the chair.
Yes.
We want a 5-minute break, perhaps, for Jimmy.
Yes.
We've been chatting for about.
We can do a 5-minute. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's reconvene at 3 minutes till.